This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to take, well, excuse the pun, a deep dive on fish oil. We're going to talk to an expert. She's been a long-term colleague of mine, very highly respected. She's a licensed nurse, nutritionist, and medical journalist, and she lectures on subjects related to nutrition to help professionals. Also is host of her own radio program called Food for Thought. And she's medical educator for Carlson Laboratories, a very fine manufacturer of supplements with a very, very extensive long-term experience in purified fish oils. So, Jolie, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. This is a sequel to the little segment that we did on our weekday, our weekend program. So it's nice to have you and have a little more time to discuss things with you.
Well, it's just very... It's great to be back. I'm always so enthusiastic to join you because you're such an educator. You're so knowledgeable, and it's a joy to talk to someone who has a level of passion for the topic that is, you know, equivalent to mine, because I get pretty excited about all of this, but so do you. So thanks for inviting me.
We do both have the fire in the belly, so to speak, for this subject. Let's tee off, because there's been some negative press about fish oil. Let's face it. I mean, fish oil has, you know, in Rodney Dangerfield terms, it ain't getting no respect, including, and I'm just here as a sample of an article from the Harvard Medical School Health Letter. And, you know, whenever patients ask me about that, I said, well, whatever they say, do the opposite, please. Because when it comes to nutrition, anyway, I mean, maybe high-tech medical breakthroughs, they are so behind the curve. So there's an article, and this just came out this spring, Fish Oil Friend or Foe, and it's by the chief medical editor of the of what's called Harvard Health Publishing. He's an MD. And what they're saying here is, bottom line, if you're taking fish oils because you believe they're good for you, it's time to rethink that strategy. And when I see stuff like that, just my blood boils, because here's a, you know, they're messaging and interpreting the scientific studies that we read to the lay audience, and they're transmitting a message that literally is poisoning the well for people who, well-meaning individuals who want to improve their health using fish oil. So help us navigate those headlines. What say you?
Well, I think that it's popular to take a counter position on certain topics that seem very well established, and where people have, you know, topics that have gone mainstream in nutrition and particularly in dietary supplements. And if
it's the man bites dog principle in journalism, you know, it's like dog bites man, no big deal. Okay, you know, we need to report on it, but a man bites a dog. Ah. Now, that's a human interest story.
Now,
there we go.
That's something to talk about. But the thing is that this person, with all due respect to this person is not stating the totality of the science or even a fair take on that, because in January of this year, you said that this was something, that this was an opinion that was put forth in the spring. In January of 2018, we got to a threshold with published papers on EPA DHA, which are the active components in fish oil, the reason we take the supplements, we achieved a milestone of 35,000 papers published. And there's not a pharmaceutical anywhere that even comes close, and there's not another dietary supplement that comes close. And the thing is, it's not that they're just publishing garbage. 80% of what has been published has been positive findings where the outcome that was seen was positive for human health. And so to say that it's a waste of your time to take fish oils when there's that kind of evidence out in the world, and not just about heart, Dr. Hoffman, about brain, about mood, about underlying factors like inflammation and correcting lipid imbalances and reducing allergic response and making breathing easier for people that have respiratory issues. There are so many areas. I know we're going to brush into immune function a little bit, yep, a little later in the discussion today.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many areas where there have been profound benefits. And so to just brush it aside as though it's a waste of time, I can't help have a little bit of a conspiracy theory thought about that, which is, wait a minute, Harvard, whose side are you on? What is your agenda if you're discouraging people from doing something that has clearly been found?
Yeah, I mean,
helpful.
if you look at the tenor of those, Mayo and Harvard newsletters, generally it's sort of an anti-supplement bias. But one of the reasons I enjoy conversing with you is because you do a deep dive on the studies. You don't just read health magazines. You actually look at some of the scientific studies as I do. Your eyes can glaze over because page after page of details, and you have to kind of tease out the data. When you look at these studies, you can just look at the top line or the summary. But a recent study called the ASCEND trial looked at aspirin, found aspirin virtually worthless for relatively health, actually somewhat at-risk individuals, even people who are at moderate risk for cardiovascular disease. So it was a big knock on aspirin. But also included in that study was a study arm where they looked at fish oil, and they said in diabetics, fish oil didn't really... Didn't do the trick. I mean, fish oil said to be protective against cardiovascular disease. We know diabetics are prone to cardiovascular disease, but there was no big effect. So the conclusion was fish oil does not prevent cardiovascular disease. You say?
I say the thing they didn't tell you there is that study found an 18% reduction in cardiovascular death. So for those people, I think they felt that they had been benefited. Talk about.
So in other words, it was one of those things where it didn't reach, quote, statistical significance, right? I mean, you can do a whole manipulation with statistics, and you can say, well, that's not a strong enough effect, 18%, because not enough people or whatever, the statistics don't tease out in some way to show a scientifically valid conclusion that fish oil is protected. But 18%, hey, I'll take that. That works for me.
I'll take it too, and especially if it's me.
If you're that 18%, you're 100% alive as opposed to dead.
Yes. And here's the other piece. Okay, so they didn't reach statistical significance, but if you were among that number needed to treat who actually saw that benefit, you're at 100%. And it's not as though the balance of people were harmed. That's another thing that I think is important to point out. Even if you didn't get the full measure of the effect that was being looked for or being looked at in that calculation, there's nothing in there that says that anyone was harmed taking the fish oil.
Unlike the aspirin, where there actually were no advantages, and there was downsides. There was gastrointestinal bleeding. There was actually a higher incidence of cancer in the patients taking the aspirin. We thought aspirin could be protective against certain cancers, but not in this study anyway.
So we can make each other crazy about the studies, but there are so many things that we know to be beneficial about fish oils. And if you're taking the, you know, a good high quality purified fish oil that you buy at a pharmacy, or you buy, and by pharmacy I mean a holistic pharmacy, which there are a lot of them in the marketplaces where we're on the radio, or that you get at a natural food store, you're not paying through the nose for something that has significant benefit. So I fail to see the point of being the among the chorus of voices that are naysayers about something like EPA and DHA. I think it's a disservice. I think that that does harm. Mm-hmm. Whenever we try to convince someone not to do something that is beneficial, we are doing harm, which I thought it was a first do no harm perspective in the medical community. Mm-hmm. And I would think these people at Harvard made that promise.
Yeah, it's a form of journalistic malpractice, I think, because the definition of malpractice is harming people through medical errors. And I think journalists can actually inflict harm by inaccurate science reporting. Another flaw with that study, and I actually did a little video on it, if you look at, and again, you got to tease this out because you got to read up to, you know, page 11. And, you know, buried in that, all that verbiage is what they actually gave these people. They gave them one fish oil capsule, and there was another problem about the placebo, right? Can you describe it?
Well, yes. So starting with the one fish oil capsule before we get into the placebo problem, the one fish oil capsule is not giving a dose that has been generally agreed upon in the larger omega-3 community to be an optimal dose or an ideal dose. So if you, you know, to use aspirin, which we were talking about a moment ago, if you have a headache and you lick an aspirin, you probably are not going to expect to get the same benefit as you would if you swallowed what would probably be a better dose of, say, two aspirin. So when you just take one capsule of fish oil, unless you are taking a highly purified, highly concentrated capsule, you're not taking an amount that is going to pull you into a lower category of expectation of harm, or, you know, reduction of harm. You have to take a certain amount of fish oil, and fish oil, it is the dose that matters. You have to reach a blood level, and one capsule in many cases with fish oil is 300 milligrams combined EPA DHA or less, and we all know that it takes probably at least 1,000 milligrams and more likely twice that to begin to see medical benefit, especially in people mm-hmm. with heart disease. So one capsule was the wrong dose.
And for lowering triglycerides, you know, my experience has been that you really need to take four, maybe sometimes six capsules a day to lower your triglycerides. Of course, it's easy to lower your triglycerides if you adopt a low-carb diet, but you get some added benefit from taking fish oil. In fact, the only approved claim for fish oil medically these days by the FDA is for lowering triglycerides. That's the medical indication for using EPA. The government's kind of stingy about allowing medical claims, and they don't allow medical claims about immune benefits, heart benefits, but they do allow, it's known that you take four capsules to six capsules of highly purified fish oil daily, your triglycerides are going to go down.
Yes, they are. Now, it's not going to happen immediately. It's over a 4 to 6 month period mm-hmm. that you really notice the full measure of the change for that higher dose of fish oil. But you're right, 2,000 to 4,000 milligrams combined EPA DHA, meaning when you read the fish oil label, you add up the amount of EPA and the amount of DHA, and you're shooting for 2,000 to 4,000 as the total of those two. That's the triglyceride lowering dose that the American Heart Association endorses, and they've had that position since 2002. That was revolutionary to have an esteemed medical group come out and make dose-specific and benefit-specific statements about something like a dietary supplement, but state that they did. And that is the dose. So when they give the study participants one capsule, there is no fish oil capsule that is that potent. So mm-hmm. they were already giving an inadequate dose, and then let's talk about the placebo. They used olive oil.
Whoa.
And I'll tell you something that I know about olive oil. Olive oil is good for your heart. So they gave a placebo that actually has some
benefit. It wasn't inert. It wasn't like a sugar pill.
No. Yeah. Exactly. You want for placebo something that isn't going to harm or benefit the condition in question. That's how you set up a study, so that you can, you know, in a fair way view whether or not the treatment is better than the placebo. But in when you're taking a very low dose of fish oil and you're taking olive oil as a placebo, the treatment might not be better.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Carlson sort of banks on that principle, because you make a combo of extra virgin olive oil, one of your products, and fish oil that is designed to be, to confer the benefits of the Mediterranean, sort of the Mediterranean diet in a bottle, because the Mediterranean diet high in fish, the Mediterranean diet high in olive oil, and you get, you certainly can boost your protection against a wide variety of conditions, including cardiovascular disease, with that combo if you increase your intake. What's that product called?
I love that product.
What is that product? I forget.
Olive Your Heart.
Olive Your Heart. And it comes in different flavorings, and I've actually used it sometimes as a salad dressing. The fish oil flavor is kind of mild and muted. But it's something you just take by the spoonful, even if you want that insurance policy of Mediterranean diet components.
Well, it was a fun project to get underway. The Carlson is a family business. They are second generation now. The daughters are in charge and running the company that their parents started. And the olive oil, the grove, Terra Creta, is on the island of Crete, and it is several generations deep in the same family with this beautiful, hundreds of years old olive grove. It's an extra virgin olive oil that is very, very high quality, and you can tell that because you get that distinctive tickle in your throat with that olive oil that is a sign of the activity and the level of the polyphenols that are in the olive oil. And these things work so well together with fish oil, so it just is a potent, nice combination that you can use in the kitchen, as you mentioned, salad dressing, or people like to take a crusty, you know, bread and dip it in with maybe some Italian seasonings. As long as you're not cooking with it, you can add it to anything that you're about to serve. So it's a nice product. I love it.
Great. Okay. Well, so having debunked this, naysaying study about fish oil. Let's move on and talk about some of the benefits of fish oil and other related subjects. You recently penned an article for us at drhoffman.com. People can find it, which is about the immune benefits of fish oil, which is interesting because fish oil is not reputed to boost immunity, and you actually did a very nice job of explaining how it might do so.
Well, we thought that we actually felt that the well-known inflammation-reducing benefits of the omega-3s, we thought were problematic for immune function because the immune system uses bursts of inflammation or production of inflammatory compounds in order to deliver a toxic punch to things like bacteria and viruses, fungal organisms. And so we thought blocking in inflammation would be blocking immune function. And so sort of at a 30,000 foot view back 10, 15 years ago, the perspective was that fish oils might actually be a little bit of a problem when it came to...
Yeah, they thought to be immune suppressive possibly, yeah.
Right, but we were wrong. And what turned out to be the case was the adaptogenic benefit of the EPA and the DHA, which you and I had a conversation about this, that we think of certain herbs as adaptogens, and by that we mean that it promotes something and yet in some cases inhibits the same thing depending upon what it is that the body or the system in question needs at that moment. So that's a long-winded way of saying that actually what we found out was the EPA and the DHA actually increases the release of some of these inflammatory compounds in the immune cells themselves, like some of the T cells.
That are beneficial for fighting infection, because inflammation, you know, we talk about inflammation, it's bad, you know, let's quash inflammation and prevent inflammation, but actually inflammation is part of the immune response. If you completely knock out your inflammatory response, you get no healing and you get no resistance to pathogens and invaders.
Right. Right. So in the right circumstances, in the right scenario, inflammation is a good thing. And as you point out, it's necessary for healing. So what we found out was not just about the adaptogenic effect on inflammatory function, but also that there were better populations, increase in population of T cells and some B cells, and that there was in, you know, certain populations of people improved response against things like respiratory infections. So it turns out that the fish oils support immune function. And of course, the classic example is the cod liver oil story, which goes back in Europe 1,000 years or so, where they were using cod liver oil in the winter in order to increase immune function. And it was vitamin A and vitamin D along with the omega-3. So it's kind of the perfect combination of pro-immune balancing nutrition that was in the cod liver oil, and that was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before we had ever identified and named and discovered the functions of things like vitamin A and vitamin D and the omega-3s. But yet in traditional medicine, cod liver oil was known to be an immune booster. So it turns out the omega-3s are whether the A and the D is in there or not, which is great.
Well, these days, is purified EPA and DHA liquid or capsules a preferable source of the omega-3s when you're taking adequate vitamin A and vitamin D outside those supplements?
Sure, and it matters not really whether it is the encapsulated versions or whether you're taking the liquid. One of the great things about the Carlson liquids is that they are very clean. We can talk about purification, but they don't taste fishy. We use lemon and in some cases orange and some other citrus flavorings, but the oils themselves are purified and the proteins that would taste fishy are gone. Mm-hmm. They've been highly purified and removed from the oil, and so the oils don't taste fishy. So for some people taking, especially wanting to get those big triglyceride reducing doses, the liquids are easier to swallow the way that you do it. Pour it on a little bit of salad or something like that, or just take it from the spoon. There's not anything unpleasant about it, but if you can't get yourself to imagine taking a liquid fish oil because of some inherent, you know, bad memory of cod liver oil as a child
right,
or something, which everyone seems to relate to that, then the capsules work just as well. You just want to make sure that you get enough of the EPA and the DHA.
Okay. Well, our listeners know that we divide our podcasts into two parts, and we got a lot more questions for you. We're going to talk about fish oil alternatives, flax oil, krill oil. What about vegetarians? We'll talk about prenatal nutrition, and we'll talk about brain benefits and mood benefits of fish oil. There's lots to talk about, and we'll continue our deep dive on the subject of omega-3s with our guest, Jolie Root. She's an RN and a medical educator for Carlson Laboratories. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.